Well, much of Jesus' ministry when he was on earth was centered around healing. Certainly the greatest healing that Jesus came to give was healing for our souls, for our spirits, to reunite us with the Father. Because you remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were created perfect, when sin came in, God had to separate his creation from himself. And when Jesus came, it was to provide a way for us to be able to come back to the Father, to be able to spend eternity with him. But Jesus' ministry was also about physical healing. And there were two reasons that Jesus healed the way that he did in his ministry. The first one was to demonstrate the love of God, how much God loves his people. And Jesus demonstrated that time after time. But the other was also to demonstrate God's power. God's power over death. Jesus raised a number of people from the dead. The power over sickness and disease, the power over infirmities, where man says this can't change, Jesus would come and say, I've got a brand new way for you to look at this. And that's the story that we're looking at this morning. It's a pretty familiar story. Bartimaeus is a name that most people have heard about if you spend any time reading or Sunday school classes talk about Bartimaeus. And his story encapsulates such a wonderful measure of who God is and who we need to be in order to respond to the blessings that God wants to bring to us in our lives. You read about the story in all three of the synoptic gospels. Now, remember that word synoptic. Don't get afraid of that. That just simply means side by side. The first three of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all talk about Bartimaeus. But even there, they're a little bit different. And again, I encourage you, don't get real worked up when you see something that's reported in one gospel and in another gospel, it's a little bit different. Why? Because you had two different people writing that same gospel, different times apart, different experiences with it. Matthew talks about two blind men that Jesus healed. Mark and Luke talk about Bartimaeus very specifically. But in all of these things that Bartimaeus, as we come upon him, we look at the scenario that Jesus is in and what's going on. And the fact is Jesus is on a journey with his disciples when we hear about this story. He's on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It's the last time Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem because he knows that when he gets there, he's been trying to tell his disciples this. And, you know, we've said this so many times, the disciples were a little thick sometimes. They just didn't seem to catch what it was that Jesus was trying to tell them. They were constantly asking the same questions over and over until finally Jesus just, I can almost see him just going, you know, if Jesus were ever going to throw his hands up about something, it would have probably been about his disciples. Just, how long do I have to be here? How long do I have to continue to say the same things before you begin to understand what it is that I'm talking about? Can I tell you that when we get to the place where we maybe feel like, I probably just made Jesus throw up his hands, it doesn't mean he doesn't love us just as much. It doesn't mean that we somehow fall out of favor with God. God's love is beyond all of that. And Jesus is traveling with his disciples for the last time, leaving Judea, and on that road, they come to the city of Jericho. Now, in Jesus' time, Jericho was already an ancient city. The time you hear first about Jericho is when? When Joshua and the children of Israel are marching around it, and they cried out, and the walls came down. The city gets rebuilt again, and in the time of Jesus, King Herod, Herod the Great, had made that city into almost like a resort town. Think Atlantic City without the gambling. That would kind of been Jericho in that day. It was a place where a lot of people came just to relax and to all kinds of things going on. It was a big booming city for the day, and it was very important. That's where Jesus was passing through. And the Bible tells us that on his way out of Jericho, they're walking out, and there's a man sitting by the side of the road. Now, that would have not been unusual, because in that day, everything that was done in order to support yourself would have been done through some type of physical labor. You were either a farmer, or you were someone that grew plants and things to eat, or you maybe worked with animals. This is why Jesus, so many of his parables were about trees and husbandry. They were about sowing and reaping. They were about sheep. And they were about all of these different things that people would understand. If you were dealing with a physical handicap, you didn't have many options in Jesus' day. There weren't government programs. Nobody was concerned about you. Nobody went to school in order to learn how to do social programs in order to help the less advantaged. If you were handicapped in any way physically, you were going to be at the mercy of other people. They were going to be the ones that were going to help you if they decided to. And you even read about this. If you go back to 2 Samuel, David, after everything has taken place, he's looking around. And if you remember, you read and it says he asked, is there nobody left from Jonathan's family that I can show love to? I don't know if you remember this or not. And his people said, yeah, John's got one boy left. His name is Mephibosheth. Now, the problem with Mephibosheth was that he was lame, the Bible says. And if you were lame in Bible times, it meant you couldn't get around. You couldn't work in the fields. You couldn't work with the animals. You had to rely on everybody else. And the Bible says David took care of Mephibosheth for the rest of his life. But if you were blind, you had no options available to you. You were destined to be one thing and one thing only. And that was a beggar. You were going to sit by a road someplace and you were just going to cry out and ask for somebody to throw you a coin or two that you might be able to get something to eat. You certainly didn't own anything. You had no possessions. You had no home to live in. More than likely, you had just probably one cloth around your waist and sometimes not even that. This is who Bartimaeus was. Bartimaeus was sitting by the side of the road crying out. It was probably his spot. You think we're bad in church, always sitting in the same chairs? In that day, you always had your spot. Bartimaeus had his place. So people would have known who he was. They would have recognized him. And the town during that time would have been packed with people, filled with people. Pilgrims, most of them, because the Bible said in the Mosaic Law, you go back to where Moses writes the law, that the people of Israel had to come to Jerusalem several times a year. But the most important time was for Passover, to celebrate the time when they remembered how God had freed the Israelites from the Egyptians and set them free. And when the death angel came, when they put the blood across the lintel and across the doorpost, that the death angel did what? Passed over them. That's what that celebration is about. So Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road like he always is. Now the name Bartimaeus, as it tells you, is that he is the son of Timaeus. Bar means son of. And in those days, you didn't really have last names. You might be given a first name, but your last name was usually some type of a description of who you were, the son of Timaeus. As a matter of fact, if we were to have Jesus' full name in that day, he likely would have been known as Yeshua Bar Joseph. Christ was not his last name. Christ is the description. Yeshua, which is the Hebrew for Jesus, Bar Joseph, that would have been his name. And in those days, you were known by your name. Your name was a description of you. How is the only way that you ever see Bartimaeus' name listed in the scripture? What's the word that comes before it every time? Blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus wasn't even known by who he was. He was known by what he was. Do we still do that today with people? I think we do. When you talk about someone, when you think about someone, do you think about who they are or do you think about what they are? Do you think about the kind of person that perhaps they used to be rather than the person is that God is working on right then? Do we allow people to grow? Do we allow them to change? Do we allow them, like Jesus says, is to think well of the people in our lives? So many times I think we miss that because we are so set on identifying who somebody is in the way that they behave and the things that they do rather than the measure of who they are. And nobody knew who Bartimaeus was. Nobody knew until he had an encounter with Jesus. Now, Timaeus, the name Timaeus, means highly prized or favored. And I'm going to come back and I want to bring that to your attention again in just a few minutes, because you're going to realize something that takes place when Jesus has an encounter with Bartimaeus, that he is not the person that he appears to be. He's not the person that everybody thought he was. His response to Jesus, Bartimaeus, his response in what he did, in spite of his condition, gives us, I believe, a blueprint for how to receive blessing from God in our lives. It's a perfect blueprint. And here's what I mean. Here's the first thing that we see. Where is Bartimaeus? Well, he's sitting by the side of the road. Now, that's important aside from just the fact that he's a beggar, which is where else do you think a beggar would be, but on the side of the road. Bartimaeus had positioned himself in a place to see as many people as he possibly could. He would have positioned himself in a place where not only the townspeople would have come, but all of the pilgrims would have passed him by as well. And he's probably thinking to himself, listen, I've got new people here. This is great. Fresh meat. I can see somebody that doesn't know me. Maybe they get tired of hearing me yell, but these people have never seen me before. I've got a shot at getting some really good things here. If Bartimaeus had been inside, he'd have missed the whole thing. If Bartimaeus had been sitting behind a building someplace, he never would have been in a position to receive what it was that was going to take place. Bartimaeus had himself exactly where he needed to be. Are you in the place this morning that you need to be in order to receive God's blessings in your life? Where is it that you're supposed to be this morning? You say, well, Pastor Dave, come on. I'm in church. Where else am I supposed to be? I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm sitting right here. I'm not talking about Sunday mornings. I'm talking about Sunday afternoon through Saturday night. Where are you? What is it are the things that you're doing? Are you positioning yourself to be able to receive the blessing of God? Or have you removed yourself from that place? And I'll tell you the thing that's going to do that more than any other, that's going to keep you from getting to where you need to be, and that's allowing known sin to be in your life. Known sin. In other words, I'm involved with some things, you know, and yeah, I know, I shouldn't be doing this. I know, it's my little vice that I have. I shouldn't, but I do. Rather than every day saying, Father, make me anew. Cleanse me, Father. As David wrote in the Psalms, create in me a clean heart for you. Every single day, my friends, we have got to go before the Father and say, God, please forgive me of my sins. Every single day, we need to be offering forgiveness to the people around us that hurt us and injure us. The Bible is very clear. We've talked about this many times, about unforgiveness, about what happens in our lives when we hold unforgiveness against somebody else. And I'll tell you another thing it does is it prevents us from receiving everything that God wants to give us. Every day, God, I need to forgive this person. And not just with my mouth, but truly inside my heart. To say, Father, they belong to you. Every single day, monitoring the way that I live. Knowing that there are things in my life that I am going to have to change if the priority in my life is to be in a place where God can give me all that he has in store. Bartimaeus did that. He was sitting in the place that he was supposed to sit. Can I encourage you this morning to examine where it is that your life is? Where is it that you're spending your time? What is it that you're allowing to be a part of your life that may be preventing you from receiving all that it is that God wants to give you? The second thing that Bartimaeus did, it says he began to shout. He began to cry out. Now, if any of you have ever been out of this country, and there are a couple of places that they always tell you you may not want to go for vacation, and I'm pretty sure I've heard this, is Jamaica is one of those. Because they say if you leave anywhere outside of a very restricted area, you are inundated with people trying to get things from you, sell you things, beg from you. I guarantee you, it's not a quiet thing. They're trying to get your attention. And that's what Bartimaeus was trying to do. He was trying to get Jesus' attention. He had heard somewhere that Jesus was coming. He was aware. He was listening to the things that were going on. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How intentional are you about the things that God wants to give you in your life? How determined are you to receive everything that God wants to give you? There have been times in my life when I have let things go that I have never should have let go. There have been things in my life that I've allowed to stay that I have never been intentional about, that I should have been, that could have spared things in my life that I would never have had to deal with. I love Jesse Duplantis. You've heard me talk about him a couple of times, evangelist from New Orleans. As I've told you, Jesse's a very unique style. You have to get used to his style of preaching because he only has two volumes, Screaming and Off, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, it's just you get done, your hair's kind of blown back like this. I love him. He's hilarious. I've seen him preach a couple times. He actually prayed over Katarina and me one time at one of his services. But he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, you had better be ready to embarrass sin before sin embarrasses you. You need to be ready to embarrass sin. In other words, I have got to, at times when I know that it's the right thing, I've got to speak up. I've got to be willing to use my mouth to say, no, I'm not going to do that. When everybody else is doing something and I go, you know, if that's not a place I belong, I can never be afraid to make some noise about what God's called me to do and who he's called me to be. Can I encourage you this morning to get bold about your faith in God, about who he's called you to be? Can I encourage you this morning to cry out to God, to cry out in prayer to him? You got to think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying by himself. He knows he's about to get arrested any moment. They're going to be coming for him. He knows what's in store. And he cried out to the Father, if there is any way that this can happen without what I know is about to take place, let that happen. But not my will, but yours be done. In every painting we ever see of Jesus, he's sitting, you know, just looking passively up into the heavens, and the light is coming down on him, and he looks so serene and peaceful. Can I be as bold to say, I don't think that was Jesus' posture. I think Jesus probably, to be able to pray, God, don't let this happen, I think Jesus was dealing with some very real anguish during that time. And he was crying out to his Father. Can I encourage you to cry out to God? Cry out to him in praise like we did this morning. The Psalms are filled with David, with other authors, crying out to God in praise to him. Cry out in desperation. When there are times when you just don't know what else to say, just cry out to him because he hears us. He always hears us. The third thing then that Bartimaeus did is said that he shouted out all the more. Now, why is that important to say it twice? Well, because in between the two of those things, when he cried out, a bunch of people came over and said, hey, shh. This is Jesus. Come on, shut up. We hear you all the time. It's the great rabbi. We know all the things he's done. We want to see what he's got to say, not what you have to say. How easy is it for you to get taken off track by other people to what God's promised you? Are you easily discouraged? I've got a promise from God in my life, and I'm believing for it. And one person will come over and go, there's no chance that's going to happen. You have no prayer of that taking place. I got to tell you something, folks. I want to be like Bartimaeus. I am not going to listen to that and sit quietly and shut up. I'm going to cry out all the more. Father, in spite of the fact of what people are saying to me, I believe the promise you've given me. If Bartimaeus had listened to the rest of the people, he'd have died a blind man instead of having received his sight. My friends, I don't want you to miss anything that God has for you. Can I encourage you that when someone gives you a negative word about something that you're believing and praying on, that you are not going to receive that word, you are going to hold fast to what the Bible says, to what God has said to you, and you're going to believe for the miracle that God's going to bring in your life. Stand firm on that. Bartimaeus said, I'm not listening to that. I know what it is that needs to take place, because let me tell you what happened, and watch this. When he screamed out all the louder, what does it say happened? It said, Jesus stopped in his tracks. Can you imagine? Jesus has performed all the miracles he's going to perform. The only one left that he did from that point on is when he healed the high priest servant's ear, Malchus. Remember that? Peter took the sword, cut off his ear in the garden. Jesus said, no, healed his ear. But Jesus had done all those miracles. But the faith of this blind man made Jesus stop in his tracks. When was the last time that my prayers were so intent, so filled with what it was that God wanted to do, so filled with faith that I would make Jesus stop in his tracks? Jesus stopped. That's a faith that changes things. It's the same faith that each and every one of us has in our hearts, in our life. We have been given by God the measure of how to be able to stand firm in the times when things are coming at us, when doubt is coming, when fear is there, when I'm given a report that's a death sentence to me or to someone that I love, that I can stand firm and pray so fervently to the Father that Jesus will stop. And when Jesus stopped, everybody else came and said, "Hey, Bart, it is your lucky day. He's calling for you. He's calling for you." And Bartimaeus then does two things that I think we read over it so quickly that I think we miss the significance of it. He did two things. It said he threw aside his cloak and he stood to his feet. He got up. Now, in the scripture, a person's posture, his physical positioning, is often much more than just how his body is, standing or sitting. Sitting in the scripture often is about distress. Being down low on the ground can often be things of anguish in our lives. You read about David when his son from Bathsheba, after he had taken her away from Uriah. Remember the story? You know the story. And Bathsheba gets pregnant. And David has Uriah killed on the front lines. You say, no, he didn't kill him. Sure he did. He positioned everybody so that Uriah would be killed. This is as if he killed himself. And then the prophet comes and says, "Dave, God knows what you did. And your son's going to die because of it." What did it say? What does it say David did? Said he fasted. He had sackcloth on. And he was on the ground praying before God. And then his son died. And then it said, after that, it says David got up. He stood. Because to stand means to be able to move into a new position, into a new posture, in a new way of thinking, in a new way of seeing what it is that's going on around you. Bartimaeus stood to his feet when Jesus called him. And then it said he threw off his cloak. Now, that cloak was more than just a piece of material. Number one, that was probably the only thing he owned. He probably didn't have anything else. Like I said, he may have had something to wrap around his waist, maybe not. But all he had was that cloak. And here's what that cloak was for. Certainly, it was to cover him at night. He could have laid down on it so he wasn't on the ground itself. But the other thing that it was for is that when he was sitting on the ground, he would lay that cloak across his lap. And when people would walk by, they would throw him a coin or two, and they would go onto that cloak so that he would have them. Because if they just threw them on the ground, he wouldn't be able to see where it was. So that cloak operated as a way for him to receive the things that people were giving him because of his blindness. When Bartimaeus stood up and tossed his cloak aside, what was he saying? He's saying, number one, I don't think I'm going to need this cloak anymore. This is something that has been about who I used to be, but this cloak that it represents my life, it represents my infirmity, it represents my handicap to not be able to survive in the world without this. I don't want this anymore. Because I am convinced that as soon as Bartimaeus stood to his feet, I am convinced that God spoke to his heart and said, I'm about to change you. But it never would have happened if he had never gotten up and if he had never removed that cloak. Bartimaeus came with such a faith to the Father, came with such faith to Jesus who was calling him to say, come, I want to talk with you. And then the next thing that Bartimaeus did is something that I truly admire him for. Because he gets up to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, so, Bartimaeus, what would you like me to do for you? Now, if I were Bartimaeus, here's what I probably would have done. Excuse me. Can somebody get some ID from this guy? I need to know who it is I'm actually talking to. How can you be Jesus, the Son of God, and not know what it is I need? Everybody knows what I need. His faith could have been shaken at that point, couldn't it? It could have been challenged. If I come up to somebody and I come up to a guy in a garage and I've got wheels falling off and I've got the exhaust laying on the ground and my headlights are out and the thing's smoking, if I get some guy in a garage who comes and says, so, what do you need me to do? I'm going to go find another garage This guy obviously doesn't know what he's doing. But Bartimaeus wasn't shaken. Bartimaeus just did exactly what he was supposed to do. He answered Jesus. Can I tell you that anytime Jesus asks a question in the scripture or God asked a question in the Bible, it was never because they needed information. Jesus didn't need to know what Bartimaeus needed. Of course he knew what he needed. Jesus asked the question in order to reveal what it was that he was going to be doing. God asked questions in the scripture. You remember back when Adam and Eve, when the sin had come in and they had hidden themselves. And it said God was walking through the cool of the evening in the garden. And he called out and said, Adam, where are you? Did God lose Adam? No, he knew exactly where he was. But he wanted Adam to understand what it was that had taken him to the place that he was. God came to Cain and said, hey, Cain, where's your brother? He said, so what, am I my brother's keeper? Am I the one who has to watch after my brother? God knew where Abel was. God had seen Cain kill him, but he wanted to reveal to Cain the depth of the sin in his own life for what he had done. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do? Bartimaeus said, Rabbi, I just want to see. And then the Bible says that immediately he received his sight. And the last thing that took place was it said that Bartimaeus followed Jesus from that point on. When you receive an answer to your prayer, what do you do with Jesus then? You just kind of set him aside for a while? Good, appreciate that. Thank you. You did me a solid. Thank you very much. I'll come back when I got some more issues. A lot of people treat God that way. You just say, okay, I'm good. I'll be back. I've got the 911 right here. I've got it ready. I'm on speed dial with you. I'll be back. Or do we desire to have Jesus be a part of our lives at all things and all times? Do we want that intimate relationship with him that says, Father, there is nothing else that I can do but to worship you. There's nothing else that I want to do but to give my life to you because of how much you love me, because of what you've done for me. He healed Bartimaeus of his blindness. The Bible says that Bartimaeus followed him, maybe for the rest of his life, certainly for the rest of Jesus' life. Who knows what would have happened to Bartimaeus? But can I give you a suggestion of where I think we're going to see Bartimaeus again? Because in the scripture that we just read, starting the 46th verse, tells us about Bartimaeus. Going back to the 35th verse, there's another request for honor that we read about. James and John come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, come here, come here, come here, come here. I want to talk to you for a minute. Let's get away from those other guys. There was a reason. He said, come here. I want you to do us a favor. Jesus said, what do you want? Once again, knew what they were going to say. He said, what do you want? And James and John said, listen, when we get to heaven, we want you to let us sit on your left and your right. In other words, to be in the place of honor, the greatest place of honor. And Jesus looked at them and he said, listen, you don't know what it is you're asking for. Can you do and deal with the things that I'm going to have to do and deal with? And the guys went, sure, Jesus, we're here. We'll be with you the whole time. Of course, you know what happened. When they came to arrest him a few hours later, where did the disciples go? They scattered. But actually, Jesus looked at James and John and said, actually, you are going to need to deal with the things that I do. Because both James and John, James was martyred. John was going to have to go through an awful lot through the rest of his life. But Jesus didn't answer their request. He didn't tell them, yes, you will sit in a place of honor. He told them, those places are reserved for the ones that God has appointed. Now, go forward to where we're at this morning. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The name Timaeus means honor, to be glory. Not only did Bartimaeus receive his sight, but I actually believe that those seats on the left and right hand side of God are reserved for men like Bartimaeus. Men that in the natural had absolutely nothing. They were the lowest of the low. When a beggar died, he wasn't buried. They just threw him out of town and got rid of him so that the body would just not be somewhere where it would stink and make a problem. They had less than any standing in society. They had nothing. But when Bartimaeus had his encounter with Jesus, he received an honor that not even James and John got. You see, James and John were spiritually blind to what it was that Jesus wanted to do in so many ways. They didn't get it, even right up here to the end of the ministry. And they're going, listen, Jesus, we want the places of honor. Not understanding that the first shall be last. Forgetting completely the fact that Jesus was going to be washing their feet, that he was going to demonstrate to them yet again what it means to be a servant. But a man like Bartimaeus, who had absolutely nothing, received a glory and an honor that only a few people ever received. And my question for us this morning is that do we have the faith this morning that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situations, that we want to see clearly with the eyes of our spirit what it is that God is doing? That I can take my eyes off of the natural and say, Father, I realize this does not look good. To take my eyes off of the natural and say, why is it that a young man like Jason can be taken like that so quickly? Especially when God is beginning to move in his life so powerfully. Take it off of that and move it to the place to say, Father, there's a place of honor that you have for people like that, for people like Bartimaeus, that just know who you are, that will not be put down by someone else, that will throw away the cloak of the things that they hold on to. So many of us hold to those cloaks in our own lives because it gives us security, and in actuality, all it does is keep us bound in a place that God wants to free us from. And this morning, what I pray that it is that God is speaking to your heart this morning is that you can be the lowest of the low, and there's none of you like that in here this morning, so we're already further along than so many others. This place, our world, our nation, especially, we are so blessed. So many places around the globe, the fighting between the Israelis and the Hamas right now is just so tragic. Innocent people being killed. Places around the world where there are children that are being stolen and sold into slavery. Places around the world where you cannot come and worship like this without fear. But we live in a place where we have been given the freedom to be able to worship God with all of our hearts. And yet so many of us get our eyes focused on the things that just don't matter. This morning, examine your heart and say, Father, I want to be like blind Bartimaeus. Even when my real eyes don't work, I want my spiritual eyes to be open to see everything that it is that you have for me. And yet God gives us a choice. You can walk through life spiritually blind your whole life if you want to. You certainly can. Satan sure is glad to help you with that. He'll give you everything you need to get those blinders in front of your eyes so you can never see the things of God. And yet we have been given, like Bartimaeus, opportunity to be able to come before the Father and say, Father, remove my blinders. Let me see what it is that you desire for me to see. All it takes is a faith to be able to throw my cloak off and to stand up. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much. And the story that we read about Bartimaeus, a man who in the natural had nothing, but in the spirit had such clear vision of who you were, that his faith brought him to the place of throwing off those things that kept him who he was so that he could then become who you wanted him to be. Father, I pray that for each and every one of my brothers and sisters this morning, that we would desire God to be all that it is you've called us to be. And so, Father, that means for many that we're going to need to change some of the things we do. It means, Father, for many that we need you to come and to change our thinking, to change, God, the way that we've always done things and to embrace a new way of living our lives. Father, that's not easy. Satan certainly doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to stay bound to things of the past. He wants us to stay guilty of sins that we've been forgiven of. And Father, he wants us to keep our eyes off of you. And so in the name of Jesus, I am asking that every one of my brothers and sisters here would receive new vision and new sight. Father, fill each of us this morning with an ability to be able to see you and to understand you in a different way. And in the times of trial, in the times of struggle, when somebody tells me to be quiet, Father, I'm going to shout all the more. I'm going to get all the more bold because I desire everything that you want for me in my life. And so I pray blessing over each and every person here, every family that's represented. And I pray that as we leave this place, Father, that we will desire to show everyone that we meet your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father, forgive us for the times when we look away. Forgive us for the times when we focus only on ourselves. Because, Father, we know that it is our greatest heart's desire to be in the center of your will and to do all that it is you've called us to do. Father, we thank you for this time, and we look forward to when we come back together again. It's in your matchless name that we pray all of these things together. Amen. Amen.